Go now to Isaiah chapter 40, where I asked you to turn earlier. We're going to be looking at verses 27 through 31, a very, very familiar passage, may even be your life verse. But as we looked in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 27 tonight, we find Isaiah asking this question: Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and why speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known, and hast thou not heard, that God, that the everlasting God, the Lord, and the creator of the ends of the earth fainteth not, neither is he weary? There is no searching of his understanding. Isaiah writes, Isaiah chapter 40, and he is writing to the people who have not gone back to Jerusalem to rebuild the walls. They are living now in their newfound Babylonian captivity. And as they look at the beginning of the journey, as they look at the beginning of the time away, it's that problem, that age-old problem that you and I struggle with and deal with. The question that they ask of the Lord: Lord, don't you know what's going on in my life? Don't you know what I'm going through? God, I don't mean to be disrespectful, but are you aware what's going on in my life? Have you ever found yourself at a place where you ask that of the Lord? God, where am I headed? God, where are you taking me? As the children of Israel ask this question, it seems to be, and they have, I suppose, a good reason to ask this of the Lord, because they've been taken from the promised land, the land that the Lord had promised to give to them. They are finding themselves now in captivity, and they're really curious as to why the Lord would allow this to happen in their life. Why is it that good things happen to bad people? Why is it that bad things don't happen to bad people? And sometimes good things happen to bad people. We look at the moments of our life and we will ask these questions of God. And it's only in our faith that we find an answer, or that we rest without an answer. Because I will tell you, I do not understand and I do not know why many good people, many good God-fearing people, face the trials and the difficulties of life. Because it just seems to be that it sets on some people. Some people carry a heavier weight or struggle or burdened with suffering greater than others. And I think about this when I talk about suffering. I realize that's a word that just rolls off of a young man's tongue without really fully understanding what real suffering is. I don't discount the fact that children, young people, can understand what suffering is. I think about one of the workers down at the school has a son who lives with great pain. And he has it affected his ability to go to school. He had to be raised at home, and he just lives with these excruciating bouts of just intense pain. And there's no explanation, and there's nothing really that they can do other than just watch him endure it. And I hear stories like that, and I think to myself, well, Lord, I know an older person that's lived a life of abusing their body, of bringing them, putting themselves in difficult places. It makes sense when we wear out our bodies and that we live with pain and suffering. But a young person, Lord, why and how? It's a question that we ask of God, and I think that we ask it sometimes. We're not necessarily accusing God of not knowing what we're going through. It's just a genuine question. God, why? Why? It's that question of why that robs us of our joy when we come up without answers. At the same time, I think that they say ignorance is bliss. Sometimes I just don't want to know. Sometimes I don't want to know how bad the problem is. Sometimes I don't want to know what I'm facing. And I realize in God's grace that he doesn't unload or unleash on us all of the life lessons all at once. But rather the way he works in our life and the way he grows us is that after circumstance and after trial, we have this takeaway as he sharpens us, as he refines us, that, Lord, I didn't learn the lesson then, but I did learn the lesson in that moment. The takeaway of asking God, do you know what I'm up against? Do you know what I'm facing? And God, where are you in my trouble? Is the question that is asked here in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 27, but 28 gives us an answer that is not just a pit-pat Bible answer. It's much deeper than we realize. As the children of Israel are, well, they're given the answer. Have you not heard that the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not? Neither is weary, and there is no searching of his understanding. And if there's anything to take away from the difficult moments of our life, when we ask God, where are you? It's this. We're talking to the eternal God who has always been and who always will be. There is no circumstance that will get the best of our God. There may be moments or trials where it feels like we are crushed under the pressure and the weight of our circumstance. There may be those moments where we feel like, God, this is just more than I can take. This is more than I can endure. I can't take this any longer, Lord, but I want to tell you, Lord, is everlasting. There's nothing that's going to get the best of him. Neither has been, never will be. We serve the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. It's that statement about the every area of this world is the product of his handiwork. There's no blind spots that God doesn't have areas that are beyond or outside of where he can see. I have some security cameras that we put up down at the readiness school that help us to see some strategic locations. We can see the doorways. I can see the parking lot, and I'll be using that this week from home to see what the weather's doing to the parking lot here at the church and at the school. I actually have a camera out in the lobby. You may not realize it, but there's one pointing over at the bus. Several years ago, there were people that were coming and stealing the catalytic converters off of church vehicles, and we had a camera put up in there to make sure that nobody messed with the church buses and the church vans. And I think it's so wonderful to have this in here until someone comes and parks in the night and blocks a view of the buses. And I think to myself, I can't see around, but I've got a camera set up there for the whole purpose. There's no place that you can go in this world that is going to be outside of the knowledge, of the intimate knowledge of God. Yeah, of course, if you believe in a God who, like some tend to think, some of our early history tells us that some of our forefathers were deists, that God set all this in motion and then just went away and just left his perfect law running the universe. And God is distant and God is unknowable and God doesn't care, other than he cared enough to start this and then he left us on our own and to our own devices. No, that's not the God that I serve. The God that I serve is the creator of this world. He knows the ins and the outs. He knows the areas of, well, the areas of most vulnerability. And I think that's everywhere that I live. Do you feel that way? Do you believe that the Lord knows you? There's not a place where you can go where he doesn't know you or he doesn't know what's going on in your life. Though we hit those moments when we ask, God, where are you in my judgments? Oh, we serve the eternal God. He's the creator of all the ends of the earth. And he faints not. Fainting not and that he's not weary are two great comforts. That there is nothing that is ever going to tire God. And there is nothing that's going to drive him to a place where he has to stop and rest. Not like you and me. We can only go so far and we can only endure so much. And what happens when we find ourselves faced with our limitations? We ask God, where are you? And we need to sit sometimes and reflect and think. And that's honest. I will say it's part of the human condition. But we have a God who never grows tired. He never grows tired of hearing us and our complaints. He never grows tired of, well, what did he get into this time? He knows exactly what this knucklehead has done. He knows exactly where you're at. He knows everything about you. And this is not my promise. This is scripture I'm looking at right here. There is no searching of his understanding. God knows he's got it all figured out. There is nowhere that you can go. There is no time that you can ever, that he will never be readily available or be present. He is eternal. There is no place that you can go outside of the scope of his knowledge, because he made all of this. He never gets tired. He never gets weary. He's got plenty of energy and power for you and for me. So whenever you and I are asking that question, God, where are you in our judgments? There is something that we take away from our God. He's not like us. And that's a good thing. And that brings me joy. As I look at verse 29, he giveth power to the faint. As a young man, and my energy was boundless, I could say a lot about my own strength. I don't know about you, but I find a lot more and more every day. I need more of the Lord's power. I need more of the Lord's strength to help me through the moment. Not just physically. Sometimes it's physical, and sometimes the work that I do around here is really physically demanding. I think, Lord, I can't keep up like I used to. I'm not as young or as strong as I used to be, and Lord, I just don't know how I can keep going. A young person is going to be and this is always fun to kick the present generation under the bus, right? They've never picked up a finger. They've never lifted a hand. They've never done anything. They just sat and had everybody serve them. But there is something to be said about youthful stubbornness that just will not quit, will drive because you have unbridled energy. But what happens when you lose your energy? What happens whenever you're exhausted and you're wore out? You and I know about that, don't we? I need a lot more help in the day. There was a time when I drank decaffeinated coffee because I didn't need all that energy. Now there's a time where I drink decaffeinated coffee and I drink caffeinated coffee and lots of it. And I can tell the difference that coffee makes in my life. I used to think, Lord, it was crazy for me to think that I could do this in my own strength. And I would detox off of caffeine during a week during camp, like just so it would be all part in the Lord's strength. And the Lord would said, my son, why do you think I invented coffee? Drink it. You get up at 5 in the morning and you're going to bed at 2 at night. Drink coffee. But I, of course, that was me in my private time with the Lord that he told me that. He may not say that for you. But the Lord gives power to the faint. This morning's message, remember the broken. The Lord is the rebuilder of the broken ones. Unless you're broken, you don't need help. Unless you're broken, you don't need to be fixed. And unless you are insufficient, you don't need his sufficiency. You don't need his power. So there's something that will go hand in hand with growing older and growing weaker. And I think that's more of a dependence upon the Lord to meet the need, to make up the difference in your life, in my life. He giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. And when you're all spent, when you feel like you're all used up, it's God that gives us the strength. You see, there's a mindset that we struggle with. And that is that work is for the youth and that retirement is for, well, the ones who've already worked. And I'm looking forward to a day where there might be retirement. But anybody that I know that has retired, I hear how busy their days are, and I think to myself, the only thing that you did was unbridle yourself to accomplish more. When you worked at the factory, you were beholden to a boss. And now when you're your own boss in your retirement, you stay on the go and you do so much more than you ever did when you worked on the job site. I think there's something to be said about that the Lord has never done using us. It was a conversation that I had with Mary Thacker over at Liberty Commons about here she was at home and had started to fall, and the family felt it was best to move her to Liberty Commons. And she said, I don't want to be here, but I understand this is where I need to be. It's not ideal, but the Lord has me here for a short while, and then I'm going home. And I know that the going home that she's referring to isn't going back to her street address, but going on into glory. And we had that conversation that sometimes comes up about why am I here? What can God do through me? And I said, well, you're a blessing to me. You encourage me. But you got a roommate. You got a roommate that you have built a relationship that is you're a good witness. You're a good testimony. And you have a roommate who's also a believer. And together, you all talk about the Lord. That you share the Lord with the workers and the nurses who come in. And you're always excited and happy. And you've got a sweet disposition. I said, that's not really common in a place like this. I think about how and when is God through with us? And I will say, till he calls us home. And he gives us strength for the ones who are faint. And the ones who have no might, he increases the strength. We come to verse 30, and even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. And I look at verse 30 and I take some comfort about where I'm at in the point in my life. Lord, your promises aren't reserved just for the older generations, but Lord, for everyone, because even the youth and even those youngsters, young people with unbridled energy, they grow faint and they need your strength. And sometimes the young people utterly fall. You look at the contradiction between verse 29 and verse 30 seems to be one at the other end of life and one at the very beginning of life. But the reality of God's strength is vital for every one of us. There's no age that's too young to work for the Lord. There is no age too old to stop working for the Lord. He supplies the power and the energy and the strength, which leads us to verse 31. Would you read that with me? But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. The one who waits upon the Lord. We have an interpretation. We take the verse out of context that waiting for the Lord sometimes means I let the Lord do it. And that's what it does mean. I'm trusting for the Lord to do it, but Lord, I don't need to do anything. I just need to step back and just let you do all of that. And again, that's good theology too, but it comes to the point where, Lord, I'm not going to lift a finger. I'm going to trust that you fix this. But the Lord, as you see, gives the strength and supplies the energy. It's the difference that the Lord makes. The one who's eternal, the one who's creator, the one who is who never grows tired, he never grows weary. The Lord who knows everything, there's no limit to his understanding. He supplies the energy. He supplies the strength so that when he gives you that energy, when he gives you that strength, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. Have you ever ran lately and not and got weary? I'm going to make a confession, Brother Clifton, this morning during the handshaking song. I realized I missed somebody, and I stepped by and saw Miss Shirlene, and we shook fingertips as I was making my way back up here, and I realized I needed to bolt up here, and I got up here, and we got to the next song, and if you listen, you'll hear I was a little bit winded singing. And I thought, Lord, what gives? That was 15 steps to the platform, and I'm winded. I know if that's true for me, there's no hope for you, right? Do you remember the last time you run and you weren't weary? Waiting on the Lord to come through. Not giving up and not losing heart. Remember, we're talking about a passage where Israel is asking a question of the Lord, a fair question about where they're headed and where they're at. The start of Babylonian captivity. When the Lord comes through, when the Lord makes up the difference, that you mount up with wings as eagles, you run and you're not weary, you walk and you're not faint. And I'll tell you what, something about serving the Lord. When you're trusting in the Lord's strength and you're resting in the Lord's strength, He can use a broken, wore out, exhausted, exasperated saint like you and like me. But that's not my takeaway. That's Bible. There is not just hope of purpose and usability. There is joy because He shares His energy, His power with you and me. Not so that you and I can run victory laps, but that you and I can be used of Him to be an encourager, to be a joy giver, a joy receiver for His glory. I hope tonight's message has given you some insights into how our hearts work, and even greater, to understand who supplies the difference. Our great God.